So, where it says, Shlosha Malchu Vakipa. Where's the Shlosha Malchu Vakipa? And the Gemara asks, why does it mention Shlomo HaMelech? And the three kings that were Malchu Vakipa, they ruled over the entire world. But the Gemara says, the Gemara does not mention Shlomo HaMelech. So, the first of say, the Gemara says, because Shlomo had a mile, he was Molech al Tachdonim v'al Elyonim. So about the three kings that I mentioned, the Nebuchadnezzar, Ahasuerus, and God knows who the last one was. The three kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Ahasuerus, and the third one, God who was, they were Molech al Kippa. After that, that's why it's called by not Shlomo HaMelech, because Shlomo HaMelech was Molech al Tachdonim v'al Elyonim. So I saw the first thing that means Molech HaTachdonim V'al Yonim, and the Chorav Pshat is somehow Shlomo HaMelech is a Molech on the Shadim and on the and all the whatever it is the El Yonim includes. So there's a first of say that these three were Molech against the people. HaTachdonim means they're Molech on the people's bodies. People had to obey them. The Gemara says that I'm in the Nebuchadnezzar, nobody smiled in all the years of the Nebuchadnezzar. People were very intimidated by them. But Shlomo HaMelech was Molech al Tachdonim v'al Elyonim. That means in their minds, people accepted Shlomo HaMelech. So maybe I can say just to condense a little, just to join us if the air be banoshah, if it'll get in, it'll get in all the way to here. If it won't get in, it won't get in at all. If you want, they'll get in there, but you don't have to. But that was only at the Suda. He was trying to be nice. They said, show everybody how nice he is. But Lemaisa, everybody Achashverosh. It also says that people were not people Achlerosh. Everybody was intimidated by Achashverosh too. Whereas Shlomo HaMelech, and besides that, they even laughed at him. You what a fool he is. Shlomo is the result of Al Yonim, the people were Mekabel. Shlomo HaMelech is the king. Al Yonim, that not only their bodies, their minds also, they were Mekabel. But you notice that it says in the first pasuk, it says, Vayib bimei Achashverosh, Hu Achashverosh HaMelech. It doesn't say Hu HaMelech Achashverosh. It says Hu Achashverosh. So normally when somebody becomes a high official, you see people who here even this guy in Syria, who was a terrorist, and also now the guy is now the head of Syria, who he took over, and now all of a sudden he's a refined human being who walks around with shirts and clothing and everything else, slaughters a few Alawites here and there, but in general he only about 1,500 of them, but you know that Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, when the civil war started in Syria. So Rav Avadia says that, so he said, Hatzlacha l'shnehem. It's not like any suffer tonight because of it. But here's a guy who's a savage, and he's a terrorist, and all of a sudden he becomes a politician, and all of a sudden he starts behaving with, a little bit more refined midos and everything else. So it says here by Achashverosh, even by Achashverosh, let's say who I'm Melech Achashverosh. Nothing changed. It's still the same crude, whatever Achashverosh's mitos were. As Achashverosh is the same Achashverosh of the king. He did not work on, that's why it leaves out HaMelech Achashverosh. So then it says that Reb Chasko Levenstein says that when he gets to the Suda, so Pasuk Ches says, "Vashasiya kadas ein ones ki chen yisad amal hakora abeto lasos kirtzon ish ve'ish." So Chazal bring down Kirtzon Ish V'Ish and Kirtzon Mordechai and Kirtzon Haman. Haman and Mordechai are the Ish V'Ish. So the question is obvious. That's what Kirtzon Ish V'Ish. Why are Chazal saying this, referring to Mordechai? Well, you got thousands of people there in the Suda. We know that the Rebbe said that there was a Shia Kedas Einonis. Everybody was given whatever they wanted. It was a brand, unfortunately, every single day was a new party. It wasn't the same continuation party. It was a brand new party, clear the table, a new party every day. So why is it Kirtzon Ish V'Ish, you'll think Mordechai or Mordechai and Haman? Why doesn't you got hundreds of people there, maybe thousands of people. So Chassid Yelovshin says the Yisod over here. He says the only person that can be called an Ish is somebody who is 100% focused on his goal. He's 100% focused on his goal. And he doesn't compromise his goal at all. Mordechai is focused on what he's focused on 100%. Haman is focused on what he's focused on 100%. Whatever Haman is, but at least he's an ish. He's an ish in the wrong direction. The Paschal says that's the definition of an ish. A person who's willing to compromise. A person who's willing to compromise his values, and he does not stay focused on his goal. That's not an ish. A person that is a pashran. A pashran is a compromise. A person, like Eliyahu Navi said to them, you're make up your way, either to Baal or Hashem, but you're a compromiser. There's a better word in English, where you're willing to sacrifice your values. What's that? A politician, yeah, right. Yeah, you're a politician. Right. good. Yeah. Very good. That's not a niche. That's not a niche. I think I told you once, I first got married, so I'm from Chicago, as you can tell by any lack of traits of accent, correct, Rebecca, right? And my wife is from Columbus, Ohio. So I had a drive. We were married about 2 weeks, and we had a drive from Chicago to Columbus. And to get from Chicago, you just take I-70 straight. It's one straight drive from Chicago to Columbus, about 7 hours on I-70. If my wife's not in the car, it's 4.5 hours. But seven hours on I-70. To get to I-70, so leaving Chicago, there's like a 12-lane highway. So my father always sat me down. He said, okay, you got to get into the second lane from the right, and then you got to jump over to the fifth lane from one of those jobs. And he explained to me for about 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, he said, so you got it? I said, yeah. Well, we both knew I didn't. So my wife and I get in the car. It's about 10:30 at night. We start driving. And after about an hour and a half of driving, we see a sign that says Detroit, 235 miles. Now, that's bad because Chicago's here, Columbus is here, Detroit is here. So I was not a happy camper. So I get off I pull into a truck stop. It's midnight. I pull into a truck stop. And the lady behind the counter, I said, hi, excuse me, can you tell me how to get to Columbus? She goes, well, just a second. She goes, Roy! She goes, out. Roy's a trucker. Roy looks like he stepped right off the cover of Trucker's Magazine. He's got the pot belly, he's got a beer in one hand, a Marlboro in the other hand, a cheeseburger in his mouth. And she goes, Roy, can you tell this guy how to get to Columbus? So Roy looks at me, goes, well, where are you coming from? So I just kind of said, Chicago. So he looks at me and goes, Chicago, boy, are you messed up. And, and then he started laughing. He calls all the other truckers, Roy, they're all named Roy, by the way, Roy. He goes, this guy's coming from Chicago, go to hell, I'm going to Columbia. You know? So my friend Roy, we go back over 40 years. I had learned an important Musser lesson from my friend Roy. You have to have a goal, you have to know how to get there. And if you don't know how to get there, and so Mordechai and Haman are 100%. And that's why Reb Chatzel says they're called ish, number one. Number two, stop a question. The forces would say, why weren't there any musical instruments? Why were there any musical instruments at the party? Don't say anything about Clay Zimmer. Why is there no Clay Zimmer at the party? I mean, you got everything else. You got all the good desire in there. So why not some music? Music gets people also, gets them into the mood, into the party mood, just like on Purim, where you hear the music on the street. So why not? The answer is just like the Purim, when you hear the music on the street. Music is something that's very individual taste. And it's kirtzon, also kirtzon ish v'ish. The music that you like, I don't necessarily like. And the music that I like, I can almost guarantee you that you don't like. So the you're gonna have one guy likes classical. You know, if you play classical, for me, classical music, is Tisha B'Av is coming. You know, for somebody else, if you listen to my music, Tisha B'Av is here. So you can't. There's no way to have music that everybody's gonna like. And Mayless, it would be an imposition on certain people. Therefore, there was no music in the
Manus. Manus Levi has a shot on this. That's Yalshich.
Yeah.
Amazing. He says, Aki Veros Nu, music is very high. It's like spiritual. It's very up there. So Daki didn't have music. because he was afraid if they would hear music,
it would trigger
they would
something.
Start to go off and they would start to what are we doing here?
Oh, very good, very good. Depending on which music.
Yeah.
You know what they call what they
get.
What do they nowadays they call contemporary Jewish music, which is neither contemporary nor Jewish nor music. But in the old days, I guess there was the Levim in the Beis Hamikdash, you know something. It says it's brought down Levim playing music. Basically, hearing the Levim could be my order of person to tshuva. Person by hearing the music of the Beis Hamikdash is my order of person to tshuva. The music we heard about. Who says that?
The
Manos Halevi. Very very interesting. In Pasuk Tes, so we mentioned this once before, but there's an interesting idea over here. A very powerful idea. So it says that Gam Vashti Amalka Osa Samishtei Noshim Beis Hamachos Asher Lamelcha Chashverosh. So Chazal says she had a frutza, she had the woman who was like a sorority, you know, the girls go to a frat party, the girls join up, the sorority in college. And here, the Yalkut says that what were they doing at this? What were they doing? Gavashi Mako, what were they doing? It says the Yalkut brings down, she was giving them a guided tour. It says this is where the king eats, this is where he sleeps, where he conducts business, this is where it is. They gave her a guided tour. And Yalkut says two things. We see from here, number one, that women are curious, they need to know everything. Women want to know everything. Where does the king eat? Where does he sleep? Where is it? Just like, you know, and you'll notice that sometimes, it happened to me just yesterday. When did it happen? I walked into the house with some cookies or something. My wife says, "Where did you get them?" I said, "The shoe store." I mean, where do you get cookies? Does it, you know, where you buy Garinim? You know, where do you get the Garinim? A hardware store. You know, look, in Israel, anything could happen. You know? So did you ever see walk into the tambour? But he's also selling wine. Yeah, you know, something's out of place in this picture. You never know. You can go to a car dealer. Right, but you could also get diapers. Here the rules are all. But the women, they're always curious. They need to know all the details, and they're not. They're interested. It's a koach. It's a chas v'shalom. There's nothing derogatory here. It's a koach that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave women, because by being curious, they find out all sorts of things that either their husbands or sons are up to, which perhaps they shouldn't be up to. So the same father, you know, when my kids went off to school, and they came, I didn't ask him any questions. How was school today? Did you eat your lunch? Did you play with it? There were no questions like that. It was just, did you get in trouble? Great. No? Good. Yeah? Okay. Great also. Just get into your pajamas. Go to sleep. It's only 6:30. That's fine. Get a good night's sleep. And the mother, did you do that? Did you go back? All the questions. And by asking the questions, she's able to find out. You know, husband comes up and says, "Oh, by the way, I got something on sale." "Oh, really? Where did you get it?" "What time was it?" "Oh, about 9:15. Aren't you supposed to be in Kol at 9:15? You know. And by asking questions, then we find out all sorts of interesting, "How was lunch today?" "Good." "Did you eat both sandwiches?" "No." "Why not?" "I didn't eat either of them." "Why?" "I traded them." "With who?" "Shimmy." "For what?" "Cigarettes." Okay. So now you know that you have an issue. You're 7-year-old, so there's something that has to be dealt with. So, but that's only a result of the curiosity. That's the first thing the Yalkut says. Second thing the Yalkut says is, we see that women would rather they enjoy tsuros na'os more than eating pitumos. That means women enjoy what's it called? Aesthetics. Women enjoy aesthetics. Which is something that always baffled me, because I know that women have an activity. There's activity. Activity by me meant either playing ball or an amusement park or running away from the police. That's what activity was. For women, an activity was window shopping. Women would go window shopping. I always wondered, why would you want to go look at things that you can't afford? Because by them it was how the display. You know, there's a display. By men, what do you look at? Rabbi Yechiel, the display means only one thing, which is the price. That's the display. I mean, I just think of anything else. The women, there's a display. There's this. It's like some people go run off to, where's that Arab country? What's it called? Dubai. I can't understand. I really can't understand. You're going to Dubai to look at all the things you will never be able to afford in this world or the next. And that's what you're going to Dubai for, just so you can come home and see what you're missing in life. That's what you're going to Dubai for. But Chazal say women enjoy tsuros naos more than they enjoy petumos. That means they enjoy the aesthetics more than the actual physical, tangible pleasure. But there's a pachad. Rav Shlomo Kluger says that Achashverosh was not punished. Belshazzar brought out the clay of Migdash and was punished. Achashverosh wasn't punished, and Vashti is punished. Why is Achashverosh punished? Because Achashverosh was Maver al Amidos. Achashverosh didn't make anybody do anything. Vashti, it says, the pasuk calls her Gam Vashti Hamalka. She behaved as a Malka. She wasn't willing to be Maver on her Midos. She wasn't Maver on her Midos. Mimela, she was punished. Achashverosh wasn't. That's the koach of being Maver on the Midos. Shlomo Kluger says that. The Achashverosh was Maver al his Midos. That's Mechaper on everything. Belshazzar died, Achashverosh did. And Vashti, because she wasn't Maver on Midos, okay, obviously, the Sedekah. But there could have been the difference between staying alive and not staying alive if she wasn't Maver on Midos. Okay, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, so this is the first of several miscommunications. So Achashverosh says to Vashti, he sends a message. So the Chazal say that Achashverosh ketov lev ha'yayin. He told the guys, "L'havi es Vashti amalka lifnei ha'melech bekeser malchus." Haros ha'ami v'asorim es yofio ketov asmarehi. So Chazal say, well, you know, they got to talking at the Mishnah. They started talking, and they were obviously talking about unsubstantial things. And each guy was bragging about how attractive the women are in his country. So Achashverosh says, "Oh yeah, the Kli that I use is the best looking at all. Would you like to see her?" At the moment that he says, "Would you like to see her?" These guys got a problem, because they understand that if Achashverosh brings out his wife, so then the next step is that obviously, okay, now I brought out my wife, and now it's time for you to bring out your wife. Now what happens if Achashverosh takes a fancy to one of them? So these guys understand that this is not going in the right direction over here at all. This is going to spin out of control. So they have no choice but to try to create a situation where Achashverosh will back off. So what do they say? They say, "Achashverosh, yeah, but bring her out only if she bring her out Aruma." I mean, that would be worse, wouldn't it? You say to the king, "Yeah, but Aruma, bring her out Aruma." I mean, that's a chutzpah to the king. So how can they even say such a thing? How can they even make a suggestion like that to the king? So the pashtus is they didn't just go and say, "Yeah, bring her out Aruma." They probably said, "Excellency, to appreciate the exquisite beauty, the refinedness of her beauty, and to really appreciate it, it would be deceptive if there's any clothing anywhere in the vicinity," that sort of thing, you know. And so they bring her out. Now she could ride on the trains in Yerushalayim. But the reason they do it, they never expected him to do that. They never expected him to do that, and therefore they had no choice. So why didn't she come out? Why did Chazal say she either hit Zaraz or Gabriel planted a tail on her or whatever Chazal say? But Vashti, Chazal say she was a princess. So what happened to her? The answer is there's a miscommunication. Look at how the pasuk reads. L'havi es Vashti amalka lifnei ha'melech bekeser malchus l'haros ha'anim ve'asorim es yofya, to show its beauty. Which, the beauty of what? He meant her beauty. That's not what she heard. She heard the beauty of the crown. I say, "Listen, buddy, I'm not coming out there just to show off your crown, you know, for that thing." So there's a miscommunication here. That's what the first of several miscommunications in the Megillah. We'll see a couple more.
Catches them in?
You know, you know more than I do about Dikduk, I'm sure, without a doubt. And however you were yuff, well, it is now. So the whether it is or isn't, that's how it could go both ways, and therefore Vashti is not coming out to show off the crown. That's the first miscommunication. So then Achashverosh, what he called, he says, and Achashverosh is not happy. So they decide they're going to have to execute her. And then, in Pasuk Perek Beis, Achashverosh regrets it. Achashverosh regrets it.
Achashverosh
So, you know, Ahasuerus has got a pickle over here. And he's not happy. They're avoiding him because they know that it's their fault. And they're avoiding him. And then the Nairim come up with this brilliant idea. And they bring up, you know, you bring all the Nairos and so on and so forth. And then Pasuk Dalet, V'Nara Asher Tita V'Nei HaMelech Timloch Tachas Vashti V'Yita V'Dover V'Nei HaMelech V'Yazkei. So what was it that Ahasuerus saw in the idea that is not really that profound an idea? If you're looking for a queen to replace Vashti, but there's something about it that grabs Ahasuerus. So that's two perushim over here. One of them is the Pashuv Shat. Ahasuerus married to Vashti gave him a certain power, because Vashti is the granddaughter, great-granddaughter, whatever the cheshbin is of Nebuchadnezzar. So Ahasuerus is married to the queen, that gives you a certain koach over there, a certain power. He not only lost the beauty, he lost this prestige of being married to the queen. They come up with an idea that Ahasuerus, when he thinks about it, it's not the question of finding the most beautiful one. It's the idea that now he rules over all women. All the women are under his guard. Now that gives or restores his power. Number one, that's why he likes the idea. Number two, Ahasuerus understands that he hates Klal Yisrael. And he understands the Nairim say, and look at the Lashon. The Chasam Sofer says, V'Naira Asher Tita V'Nei HaMelech. It doesn't say the Naira Hayofa, the Naira, it says Asher Tita V'Nei HaMelech. They're all gorgeous. What's one went over? Asher Tita V'Nei HaMelech means that Ahasuerus is worried. Well, he'll marry one of these girls because she's beautiful. But what if she's got a soft spot for the Jews? That's the last thing that he wants. We see he's got this Beis HaMikdash complex the entire time. The minute anybody says anything, not the Beis HaMikdash. And you see that he's got it in for Klal Yisrael. So what Ahasuerus needs is somebody who he finds, somebody, Asher Tita Beinah, that means somebody who is on the same page as him. A, she's got to be beautiful, but B, she's on the same page as him, that he senses in her that she hates Klal Yisrael just like he hates Klal Yisrael. And Mimela, that's the one, that's the idea that grabs Ahasuerus. I'll get a queen, I'll have power, and I don't have to worry that she's going to have a soft spot for Klal Yisrael. In Pasuk Zion. So here, I mentioned this in the past, but there are a couple of answers here, a couple of ideas here. First of all, where is it? Vahio mena sadasi efter bazdo, the kain lo avayim, v'nari yifas tor, v'tobas maravos, v'yidim alakacha Mordechai lo labas. So Mordechai marries Esther, who's an orphan for both parents. And I mentioned, you know, on the back of every children's book on Purim, the second to the last page is that Haman is hanging. Haman and his sons are dangling. And the last page is always Ahasuerus, it looks like a big roll, jolly roly-poly. And Mordechai and Esther, they're all like this. Like, everybody's waving. Every children's book looks like that. Yeah. Now, you have to understand that for Klal Yisrael, collectively, there's a tremendous yeshua. For Mordechai and Esther, on a personal level, it's a personal tragedy. They have to get divorced. Esther has to stay with Ahasuerus. She has to live. She has a child with Ahasuerus. It's a fate worse than death. For an Esther, it's a fate worse than death. Excuse me one second. It's a fate worse than death. So, okay, so Esther's going to go through that suffering. And on top of that, she has to be an orphan also, from both parents. She has to be an orphan from both parents. Why do you need that? Why does she have to do that also? Just being Mordechai's daughter. Start out as Mordechai's daughter. Why does she got to be an orphan that Mordechai adopts? The answer to that question, if they ask another question, she gets it taken by the king, and he doesn't know who she is. He doesn't know she's Jewish. How can he possibly not know that Esther is Jewish? Everybody is running around barely wearing any clothing, and she's running around she's got a ponytail and a dress and a tear-stained tehillim, and she's what do you call it? Every 5 minutes you've got to sit her over like the women on the bus, bless them, you know. Wherever she goes, she's davening, and she's, you don't know she's Jewish. What do you think? She's in Afghanistan? Wait. I mean, what could she possibly be? And she's refined and she's dignified. I mean, who do you think she is over here? Number one. Number two, where did you get her from? You went to Rechov Chazanish in B'nai Brak. You went to the house of the Gol Ador. You took the girl out from the house. And, gee, I wonder if she's Jewish. She's a Filipino working in Israel? What do you think? Who is she? Who could she possibly be? The only way to keep her under wraps over here is that she's an orphan for both parents. So they know where they got her from. They know she came from. She knows she came from Mordechai's house. They know he's the Gol Ador. So Mordechai says, I raised her. I adopted her and I raised her. But if you ask me, where did she come from? I have no idea. I saw this orphan wandering the streets and I took her in. I raised her as Jewish. And of course I raised her as Jewish. I sent her to Beis Yaakov. But I have no idea where she came from to begin with. And in Mela, that's not good enough, Rosh Hashanah, because he wants a pedigree. And in Mela, the whole Yeshua of Israel, it starts with Esther's parents have to die. And she's an orphan. And that is going to give him the excuse in order to be able to hide her, number one. Number two, I don't remember who it was, somebody brings down that it was the schus of raising an orphan in his home that brought the Yeshua of Israel. That's the schus of raising an orphan. The schus of raising an orphan is this is an orphan that he had to raise. And the schus of raising an orphan, that brings the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. I think Rav Izvi brings down in his Sefer that Esther is a descendant of Binyamin. Not because she's not the orphan. But she comes from Shevet Binyamin. Why does she have to come from Shevet Binyamin? Because this is going to require the overthrow of Amalek. And Chazal say about Haman, let's the other Lishda Bisha. Haman was the master of propaganda. Haman was the master of Lashon Hara. To overcome Amalek in their koach of Lashon Hara, you need somebody who is Dafka from the Shevet that was known for guarding their mouth. Because Shevet Binyamin, the stone for Shevet Binyamin in the Choshen was the Yashpeh stone. And the Yashpeh breaks into two words, Yeshpeh. Yeshpeh, because Binyamin, who knew about the Mechira of Yosef, yet Binyamin did not say. Not only that, Chazal say that Rachel Imenu didn't talk, because Rachel Imenu was the one, she didn't blow the whistle on Leah. And Mimela, she has a son, Binyamin, and Mimela, he has a descendant, Shaul HaMelech, who doesn't talk. Because when Shaul, the uncle, says that, what's new, and he had just been appointed king, he was anointed king, he comes back from the trip looking for the donkeys, And his uncle said to him, the bus herzich, it probably meant in the mikveh that day, his new bus herzich. And Joel, he said to Dorian, what he said to him, but the Nach says openly, Val Varal Bucha Lohigi. He didn't say a word about being anointed king. I mean, if I went to Washington, D.C., and on a trip to Washington, and all of a sudden they would pull me in, and they'd say, by the way, the president, he wants a minion in the White House. You're the 10th man, so we're going to make you Vice President of the United States. If I come back from a trip and somebody would ask me, my wife would say to me, so what happened on the trip? I'd say, I got some news for you, some interesting news, lady. Pack your bags. Yeah, we're moving. I would say it right away. Well, Barabluko Lohigis. And then, there are two more descendants of Binyamin. There is Yonasan, who doesn't say where David is. And there's Michal, who doesn't say where David is. And then there's Mordechai and there's Esther. And that's why the Pasuk in Bamidbar, where it says in Shevet Binyamin Mupim, there are seven pays in one Pasuk. What's the Pasuk? Where it says, Shevet Binyamin, you know what I'm talking about? In Bamidbar, where it counts as a Shevet Binyamin.
Ten sons.
No. They said the seven. It says the pasuk where it says the Shevet the Binyamin. There's what is it? Mishpachas. You don't know where it is. Whatever it is, there. If you look at the pasuk, Rav Yosef, you find the pasuk over there. Whatever it is, you found the pasuk. In parts of Pinchas, yeah, parts of Pinchas. I think it's pasuk lamed hey lamed dalel over there. In parts of Pinchas. What's the pasuk? There's seven tables. It sounds like Peter Piper picked a peck of pimples. Whatever it is, Shevet Binyamin is known for guarding their mouth. In Mimela, they're stone at the Yashvei, because guarding your mouth is the sign that you do have a mouth. There are seven pays in that pasuk. And the seven pays in that pasuk, the shufa b'shachas shufa b'chukas shachas shufami, those seven pays represent, a pay is a mouth. There are seven mouths in the history of Shevet Binyamin, starting with Rachel, Binyamin, Shaul, Yonasan and Michal, Mordechai and Esther, who don't tell. Those are the seven pays of Shevet Binyamin, so it requires Shevet Binyamin, the Shevet with the mouth, is the Shevet that has to overcome the koach of Lishta Misha. This is the Nogea nowadays. Pirk Dalet Posagalet. I'm not sure how he sees it. The Megillah Starim says that when Mordechai Yoda is called Asher Nasa, Vayikra Mordechai is Begodov, Vayilba Sak Vayfer. The Megillah Starim says, I don't know exactly how he sees it, tearing the Begodim represents the Kleisel's dead. Meaning, there is no hope. There is nothing we can do al pi derech hishtadlus over here. There is no hope over here for Klal Yisrael al pi derech hishtadlus. And the only thing that's going to help is vayizak tzaka gedol amarav, that we need tefillah. We need tzaka. So this is very much nogea nowadays when, you know, you got all these anti, the hasbara about why there's anti-Semitism and you see it helping? Yeah. It looks like things are only getting worse. The more we talk about it and try to explain to the goyim why they should, I don't see that anything is helping over here. To the contrary, it probably irritates them, so they get even more, the Jews are talking again. So they get more upset. There's nothing that helps except tzedaka. There's no hishtadlus. Later on, he makes hishtadlus with Esther, he sends Esther in. That is already after tefillah. That's after fasting and tefillah. So at that point, you're ready to go in. But that there's any sort of Jewish lobby or activism and that sort of thing, so that's not, it's not what you call it. It doesn't work. Columbia University and all the other universities, I'm stunned. This is just, I'm only saying, I'm not, you don't have to agree with me. But, you know, and maybe they shouldn't be at the universities at all. Maybe they shouldn't be in the universities? Did anybody stop and think, maybe part of that, maybe that could be part of the idea over here. Yeah. Go to a all-male yeshiva program, where they have, instead of being in these dens of iniquity, trying to get your, and then complaining about Arabs chasing you around the campus. So the, in Pasuk Zion, so then it says like this, Vayagel Mordechai is kol asher koro. Mordechai tells what do you call it? She sends Asach, and Mordechai tells Asach, as shola kol asher koro, this parshas hakesef asher omar homan lishkol ginze amelech by Yehudi v'abda. This is a pella. He's telling Esther the trouble that we have, and he says that Haman offered to pay the money. Remember, Ahasuerus turned down the money. So what's it okay? Yeah. What's it okay? Okay, it could be, he wants to emphasize how much Haman hates Klal Yisrael, how severe it is. But Lamaisa, why does she need this piece of information over here that Haman made an offer of money? The answer is because later on, when they're sitting together, and Esther, who knew about this offer? Who knew about the offer of the money? The only two people in the world knew about the offer of the money was Haman and Ahasuerus. Haman offered the money, Ahasuerus turned it down. But then, when they're sitting together at the second banquet, and then Haman says, she says, "Ki nimkarnu ani ve'ami lahashmi laharogul abe." We were sold off. And then by the Hashem says, "What do you mean you were sold off? I turned down the money." One second, this guy talked, and not only he talked, he's spreading rumors that I took money to kill the Jewish people. This helps to get Ahasuerus even more riled up than he would normally be. Because now he suspects that Haman not only has got something against his wife, But Haman is now spreading a rumor about Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus held that to kill people for money is not right. That's why he turned it down. That's not right. We have standards here. We don't annihilate people just for money, right? We have certain standards. But to annihilate them because I need to annihilate them, that's perfectly okay, but not for money. And now she says, we've been sold, but you weren't sold.
How did she get that information?
Mordechai just gave it to her. Now in Mordechai in Perek Dalet, Mordechai says, Tasa, Beis Parshas HaKesef Asher Amar Haman Lishko. Ruach HaKodesh. So Mordechai, he passes it on. Why does he need to pass it on? Because that's later on going to be fuel in the fire. So now Ahasuerus thinks Haman is spreading rumors that he's a real lowlife, bigger lowlife than he really is, because he's willing to set this to kill the Jewish people for money. So Mimela, that's why he tells her that now. And I saw a shocker. In Pasuk Dalet, Yudalet, so Mordechai says that, what do you call it? In Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yudalet. Ki ma'achareish tachish reishazos, Rebach v'asol yamar v'acher. No, where is it? No, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'yomar Mordechai l'ashiv el Esther. Al tedami b'nafsheich l'imolei beis ha'melech mikol Yehudi. So I saw, who says this? I forgot. Al tedami b'nafsheich comes from l'ashiv of Dimyon. Dimyon means something that's similar to something else. So the Zohar says that all along she'd been sending in a shade. And Mordechai is saying to her now, Al tedami b'nafsheich, don't send in a shade now. You have to go in by yourself. Shalashat of Dimyon. We'll see why in a second, how Mordechai still suspects it. Ki im ha-charesh ta-charishi be'esazos. Why the double lashon? Why the double lashon? Mordechai is saying to Esther, look, it's very nice that you've got the bida of silence. It's very nice that you've got this bida of mouth control. But the test in life is often that a person has to go against the mita. If im ha-charesh ta-charishi be'esas us when we need it, that means that it's not something you've worked on. Rather, it's at u-be'esa v'itavedu. It's just a part of your tchuna. It just means that you're a quiet person, you're an introvert. It's not something to be praised. The test of the mita is to be able to do the opposite. I think we mentioned in the past. What was Avraham Avinu's mita? Chesed. So I would look at the life of Avraham Avinu. He abandons his elderly father. He gets involved in a world war. He throws his nephew out of the house. He throws his son out of the house. He commits an act of self-mutilation on himself and his entire household. And he takes a knife to the neck of his second son. And he's the Ish Chesed in the Torah. And there's nobody in the Torah who's running around with a blade or a knife as much as Avraham Avinu. Yitzhak is Din. Gvura, Yitzhak is Din. He tolerates, his name means laughter. He tolerates the wayward son. He's Mitzaches as Isho. He's Mivater, that's a big word in the Nafi, Mivater. He's Mivater to Avimelech in the Plishtim. And he's the Mido, he's Din. And Yaakov is Emes. Deceives his brother, deceives his father, deceives his brother again, deceives his Shver. Everywhere you touch him, there's a deception. That means that the mida is the ability to do the opposite. If you only a softy, then you don't have the mida. The mida can, the sign that a person has the mida is that they're able to go to the opposite extreme. I think the ultimate test is Tamar. Why didn't Yehuda recognize her? Tetzanoa, Kokalashi, Tznuah, Beveitz Chameh. I never even saw her. Where is she right now? Not in a very tedious situation. She's out in the crossroads acting like a harlot. And Ruth, what happened to her? Why did Boaz notice Ruth? She was eye-catchingly sneeze. Think about that. Right? He sees everybody in the field is jumping at her, and she's bending on him like this, and bending on and then what happens? She goes at midnight to the grave, goes, Mamish against her teva. That's im hacharish tacharishi. Now, when we need you to talk, that means that you're not really in control of it. It means it's controlling you. That's your tuda. That's not good. In Pasuk Yizayin, now look at Pasuk Yizayin. So Chazal say, Vayavor Mordechai vayas kolak kasher tzitzol of Esther. So Chazal say two things. What's Vayavor Mordechai? One is that he fasted on Pesach, and the other is that he passed through an Urkin of the Maya. Urkin of the Maya. Urkin of the Maya means a little pond of water. Which one was it? He fasted on Pesach or he fasted through a pond of water? The answer is that he gets this message from Hasach that they have to fast on Pesach. Who'd the message come from? The message come from Esther. But he's nervous. Is it Esther or is it the shade who's sending him the message? And Chazal say, the one thing, is this a form of kishuf or is it legit? Chazal say that the one thing that dissolves kishuf is water, which is probably where they got the idea of the Wizard of Oz. Some off the Derech kid who was writing the he remembered that from Yeshiva. Yeah, that's the one thing he remembered from Yeshiva. So he stuck that into the Wizard of Oz. No thing. So he goes through the Urkin and the Maya. Why? To test to see if it's Kishuv or not. If it's Kishuv, it'll dissolve. She's got a written order over here. What does he do with this? Did it come from a shade and it's Kishuv? So he goes through the Urkin and the Maya. Imanim Shach. If it doesn't, it dissolves. So that's not enough. That's a legitimate order. If it doesn't dissolve, so then he does it. The second day in the Gemara is he taka fasted on Pesach because he went to the Urkin and Maya and he saw that it was legit. The last point is I saw somebody says when Zeresh says to Bordeaux, I don't even remember who told me this. When Zeresh says to Haman, when Haman's all to hit, Zeresh says, "Go tell the king to hang." To hang Mordecai. Tell the king. When do you tell kings things? You go in there, you get to tell the king what to do. So I don't know who said that. I remember I heard it. He says that's a simon to us that Purim is a day that's mesugal for davening. Mm-hmm. We could tell the king what we need on Purim. Purim is a day where we get to tell the king what we need. Okay. I don't remember where I saw that. Is there a Marib now?
No.
10:30.
The Tzibur is invited to Simchas Purim to make a bracha.
I can't do it. I'm confused. Hey, listen, they're in trouble over here. This cannot end. This isn't going to end well for them. They understand it's not going to end well. Brooklyn Peel. Omar,
Well, we can get a change for that reason. It doesn't have to be.